Welcome to the Novus Elitis Arcade.
Help me, Leon!
Wait here.
Leon!
Featuring a revolving roster of hosts.
It's no use!
Covering all live-action film adaptations of video games.
Die!
Enter if you dare.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, those in between and unaffiliated, to I think our shortest discussion we'll have discussing a project.
Hey, we'll see. I don't know what's the shortest. It's a good question.
Those are actually, I have no idea. But this is not out of, like, you know, laziness or anything like that. You know, him and I had a discussion about this, and he kind of convinced me, like, there's not much to what we're about to watch, so let's just do a discussion, because it'd be an hour of 34 minutes, which, you know, is reasonable for him, but it's also just an issue of how much we're going to, you know, talk over it and not have dead air.
Yeah, how much new could we possibly find to say about something this thin? Yeah, House of the Dead 2, what were your expectations coming into this little feature here?
First off, apparently House of the Dead 2, Dead Aim. That is apparently the subtitle of this movie.
Maybe they took it off right before they sent it to the direct-to-video market. I don't know.
Most likely. That's at least what TV Tropes was saying it was called. But anyway, I thought that this movie was directed by Uwe Boll. And as I've joked in the past, you know, I was like to Caleb, like, oh, you gave, you know, Uwe Boll money when buying either House of the Dead or one of his other video game movies that he's done. And, you know, it turns out it's like, oh yeah, I rented this from, you know, Microsoft Store. Thankfully, that's not the case, where it's like, this was not, Uwe Boll did not have any hand in this. Well, as far as I'm aware, is that correct?
Yep, no hand.
Other than getting like a special thanks in the end credits there.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Yeah, this was once again, I guess, House of the Dead, another game was supposed to be coming out. And so, oh, quick, let's throw together a project just to advertise for the new game. And supposedly this would be an advertisement. I don't see how. I would be embarrassed and not want to have any association with House of the Dead after watching this. Or maybe I'm spoiling my thoughts too soon.
Who knows? But it turns out this is, good old Syfy channel. I guess Sci-Fi at this point. They hadn't changed their logo yet to Syfy. This is a Sci-Fi channel original.
Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, that's interesting.
Again, I think I looked that up. I don't know. How much research did you do for this? Well, you see, I know you said you had notes, but like...
Yeah, my research was just watching it and writing my notes. Yeah.
Smart. Okay. Well, that's...
And looking up if there was a game that came out around this time. Yeah, which there was.
Even though the audience will know this, what year is this? So actually, I think the movie said 2005.
Yep, 2005, and yeah, House of the Dead 4 was coming out at this time.
Makes sense.
And like I said, so I guess you anticipated coming in, it would be more Uwe Boll, maybe more of his bombast that we saw in the first movie. Yeah, what'd you think coming into this? Did it give you anything that you were looking for after watching that first one?
You know, as weird as it sounds, and maybe this is not retroactive, I was really hoping, for some like cheesy, over the top action, and, you know, just I don't want to say bad acting, but definitely just, you know, a lot of stuff that is over exaggerated and overdoes it. And maybe I got some of the over exaggerated part of it, but I didn't really get any like over the top action scenes, because.
No.
Yeah, this is definitely a step down, if I may say so myself.
Oh yes, it is. This we've been somewhat lucky so far in our video game series of getting some more interesting entries up at the front. But prepare yourself, because we get a lot of stuff like this, stuff that you can tell they just got studio directors who work in just cheap crap all the time. They have no care at all. They're just hack job people who come in and just say, okay, let's just paint by numbers, just make a cheap movie for a couple bucks and I'll move on next week. I got another one. And they bring in that same kind of cadre of actors too. A lot of these people are those kind of, in their way, studio actors, if not quite, but They almost feel like they just, oh, we've got a contract with Lionsgate to appear in 10 pictures a year, and 7 out of 10 are just the cheapest crap you could imagine. We see early on in this movie an appearance by Sid Haig, who we recently discussed in THX 1138. Did you recognize him at all? I imagine not, because he looks completely different. But
was he the the university professor, or the doctor who kidnaps that woman in the beginning?
Yep, that was him.
I'm looking at him right now on the movie screen there, movie picture there. So it's like, who is he again in THX?
When they go to that little waiting area, when THX gets like imprisoned and then they're in that white void, he's the one that's like sexually assaulting a lady in the background.
Okay. Okay. Yes. No, I remember that.
Yeah, this guy, he'd had a big career in the 70s and just doing exploitation films. And then his career kind of went into hibernation until Rob Zombie resurrected him in a couple of his early pictures. And then he just went off on a string of doing movies like this. He would show up for like 10 minutes. It seemed like he would pack in like 4 or 5 of these things a year. And I guess he stands out a little bit here, but he's one of those same kind of just people will show up, do what he can do for like 10 minutes, and then just, yeah, walk away. And he's one of those people that they would sell as like a star. Oh, check out this horror film. We have Sid Haig. And they'd like put him on the cover of movies that he's in it for like 10 minutes. So that's the kind of caliber of stars that we get for a movie like House of the Dead 2.
So on the setting, I'm just going to say this now because we're not going to remember this, but on the score,
oh,
I love the intro music, I suppose, during the credits, the opening credits score. I like whether that's just like, you know, an instrumental from some licensed song at the time, or just, you know, a riff. I like that. And then at the very end, the end credits, whatever, you know, score that is or soundtrack that is, I like. But the rest of the score is very James Horner-y.
Oh, and it feels cheap and generic. At one point I wrote down, score sucks. Maybe that's mean, but I wrote that in my notes near the end.
And then there was this, by the way, if this is like all non-linear or anything like that, ladies and gentlemen, this is being affiliated, I apologize. I'm just trying to get out everything like from my brain so I don't forget it.
Sure.
I like that there was a Static X poster in the background. Maybe that's a little too...
Oh, I noticed that.
It's random, but I was like, oh, hey, it's Static X. I know what that is. So it's like, oh, 29 days later. Okay, I didn't know about that. Okay, that was interesting. I didn't know about this. Also, I did not know that the woman, I guess the first girl who gets, you know, murked, or I guess kidnapped by the professor, and I guess that's why they got Sid Haig in there, because I guess his history with movies or a certain kind of movie. To inject her, and then he turns out he's a doctor of some sort. I say professor, doctor, whatever. She calls him professor and injects her with, like, you know, the virus.
Yeah, I did want to do a little bit of a plot summary for us. You can keep going if you want to get some of that stuff off your head.
I did not realize that she was full on naked. I was very shocked by that. I guess I was looking away from the, like, literally just not paying attention when I did not notice until now she was fully naked. I was like, wow, okay.
And why would a doctor who just is injecting her need her to be completely nude for him to do it? Just for a cheap excuse to get some TNA in there.
Oh, and not only that, but they kind of do this montage of him, I guess, performing, like, was about to, like, perform experiments or something like that, or drain the blood of her. He's literally just, like, slowly ripping it, like, or not, like, cutting her clothes off. I'm like, what? Why do you need to?
Yeah.
First, you could just, like, they're so, like, thin. Maybe the pants you need to, like, you know, like, what?
It's just the cheapest excuse to just, okay, people are going to turn this movie off. The directors, they know no one's going to give a fuck about this movie. People are either renting it because of the association with the game, or it's just on cheap on-demand television subscription stuffs like you used to get back in the day. Be like, oh, what's on the on-demand for this month? You just look through. Like, oh, this is available for $2. Sure, I'll rent it. They know that no one's going to care about this movie, so they try to front load it with nudity as much as they can at the start to hope that that'll hook you in and make you watch for a bit longer.
Oh, brother.
I know these guys. I've spent so much time watching this crap. I know those directors.
Wonderful. All right. Yeah. Before we get on with, you know, the movie or the discussion, excuse me. Yeah, please, Caleb. Yeah. The summary.
Yeah. So we start the movie with this stupid deceptive trick, which I could tell through right away the first time I watched it, when they were doing, it's like these fake army guys. And you look at them and it's just these really cheap costumes. And I was like, oh, I know this is going to turn out to be some stupid trick. You can just tell the way they're playing it. And it turns out it's going to be for a panty raid. We want to start this off with some nudity in there and some frat boy characters for us to hate and hope to see get killed. Which, did that work for you? Were you hoping that, were you expecting those characters to kind of play out through the movie?
I was assuming, like, okay, I guess it's another, I wonder if it was like a bait and switch where maybe I'm looking too much into this. I won't say giving the filmmakers and writers this too much credit, but just like, maybe I'm just thinking too hard over this matter. But I was wondering if it was like a bait and switch. It's like, oh, so last movie, it started off with like a rave, you know, on that island there. And we're going to kind of start the same thing off here where it's like, you think it's going to be about these, you know, college or university students. And turns out, nope, has nothing to do with that. It was kind of a weird, not even bait and switch, but like we start there and then we end on this girl like running out of the house and then getting kidnapped by this doctor and then injected with the virus there. And then she goes around the university and infects everybody. So it's like, all right, weird setup.
Yeah, right off the bat, you can feel the scatteredness of the plot and just the, like, oh, let's do all this just to throw nudity in. And then we switch gears to, oh, by the way, I should mention before we move on from the little professor there, that guy was actually referenced to the games. I did see that, the Professor Kurien. The name stood out from whenever I watched the playthrough of I can't remember if it was the first one or the second one. I watched through both.
It's the second one. Apparently, this is supposed to be like a prequel in like the loosest sense to House of the Dead 2.
The game. Oh, that's interesting.
Apparently again, what TV Trope says, and you know, take that for a grain of salt. It's on the internet, of course. You can trust everything, every viable source on the internet, correct?
Hey, and this does feature, you know, AMS, I guess the military equivalent of what was an umbrella again? What was their little guys there?
Stars.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd do the voice.
Stars.
There you go. So yeah, we get them in there. I guess, oh, how exciting for us fans of the game, which I'm not because I've never played it.
Well, I won't say I'm like not a fan, just never played them. But like,
Yeah. I'm not saying anything negative. It's just, yeah, I can't say that I was thrilled, you know, to see it represented.
Well, yeah, it depends on what they were going to do with the representation. But it's just like, okay, I mean, it's in there, so I like that. It's not like, but it definitely goes in a different direction.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if these two characters are supposed to be based on characters from the game. We have this woman they call Nightingale and the guy whose name I can't remember. And they have like a weird friction. I guess he's kind of a, I guess she calls him a pig. You know, he kind of hits on her and comments on her looks and her breasts at some point.
Ellis, sorry, that was she just said his name, Ellis.
Yeah, I think there's one point when she like puts on some body armor and he's like, oh, now I can't see your nipples anymore. And I was like, wow, that what a charming dynamic these two have here.
And then when they're in the furnace room, she takes off her body armor and goes, oh, I see your nipples or something like that. I'm like, what the flip?
Oh, maybe that's a scene I'm thinking of.
But again, I guess that's in tone for this movie.
Yeah, by the way, everyone in this movie is abrasive. Pretty much all the men, I should say, in this movie are abrasive and terrible.
Yeah, all the characters in this are very mean-spirited.
Yes.
Like, they're just written like that and being, like, aggressive and are assertive. And I'm like, geez, like, I don't know if this is, like, you know, how you're supposed to write characters. I don't think so. You'd think that, I mean, if they're starting off as a place of being very inhuman and they're comparing them to the zombies, and then like throughout the whole movie they're gonna, you know, remember their humanity, or I guess, you know, humans being angry and making war with each other is, I guess, in our nature, I suppose. But just like, you know, have a positive portrayal of humanity and be optimistic. That'd be an interesting way of going, where it's like, you know, us humans start off the same way as zombies. It's like, okay, well, what separates the two? It's like, oh, well, our humanity, like, you know, our ability to was a form of connection. That's, and at least, you know, have like positive portrayal of emotions there. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Yeah, but you got to strike a balance. Like this movie, it feels like almost every scene I just like, oh, I don't want to watch this because these people are just so just ugly. Like we even open up when we first see Nightingale. She's on this little date. And I guess she uses this listening device because her date's like, oh, I need to go and make a phone call. And then he calls up this guy who set up the date. He's like, oh, man, like this girl is way more hot than the, I think he calls them heifers. And he's like, oh, if I beg her tonight, I'll call you in the morning. And it's just like, I was like, oh, fuck, like, what an asshole this guy is. You say that right in the date, in earshot?
Well, yeah, that, and I guess, again, the university students.
Yes.
As well, in the panty raid. It's again, it kind of is a little bit morally repugnant, at least from you and I's setting. But maybe this is, that's the point, because this is probably targeting, like, edgy teenagers or definitely not fans of the game.
Yes, you can feel that, like an edgelord thing. Like, oh, let's make this a, yeah, kind of darker movie. I don't know what the intent was actually. But when we get to the soldiers too, one of the lead characters in this blonde lady, who I actually recognized right away, and I was like, hey, I know her, she was in Mutant X, if you ever watched that. And so I was like, hey, I've got a kind of a fondness for her. But there's this one soldier guy, this guy named Bart, and he's just the biggest pig you can imagine. He's just a grotesque character all around. And yeah, he's making gross comments there, and he gets much worse as the movie goes on. And yeah, I couldn't wait for that guy to die. But more than that, I just wish that they hadn't even included him, because it just made the movie so unpleasant.
It's weird because I, like, you know, pretty much share the same thoughts you have. But it's weird because when he got, I guess, like, yeah, I can say this. I don't care. When he got bitten by the mosquito, and then he was like contemplating death and just the fact that he was about to lose his life, I actually found that he was given, like I almost felt moved. Like the performance he gave on, like, you know, about, but like before other stuff, like before he revealed how nasty or of a character he was.
Yeah.
I kind of felt moved. I was like, dang, like I was not like, this is what I was talking about, where, you know, this, when the situation finally settles on this guy, he would change as a person. He obviously didn't, but for the very, like, brief, like 2 minutes or whatnot, whatever you want to say, I was kind of moved for him. I was like, oh man, I feel bad for this guy. And then he went back to being a straight knucklehead. So it's like, oh, okay, well, there goes all my praise.
Yeah, and the actor, I know I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. He, I guess, was a character actor around this time and maybe through the tens. So yeah, he definitely, you know, he makes you hate the character. He plays that kind of just grotesque asshole very well, but I was pleased when he got the his death coming his way, especially because the scene before that is this grotesque scene. They go into he's by the way robbing all the zombies, all the dead people. He's like picking up their wallets or their jewelry, and he goes into this frat boy's room, and they end up shooting this half naked woman zombie, because of course another half naked person has to be thrown in. It's halfway through the movie, and then he's like posing with her. He's like, oh, you know, take my picture. And he's with these two female soldiers who are really, maybe the two of them plus Nightingale are the only ones that are treated as like, oh, you should kind of like these people. And so they're disgusted by him. And yeah, during that whole scene, I was like, okay, when is this guy going to get off the screen? I fucking hate this guy. So I didn't have too much sympathy for him. But I did like the mosquito bit. I thought that was kind of clever. Because they were all worried. They're like, hey, wait a minute. This room, it was locked from the inside. How could they have gotten infected? And they were worried it was airborne. So I was like, okay, that's something of a little unexpected twist here in a movie that feels so generic.
Was there ever an explanation to that, by the way? Was it the mosquito, or was it something? Was it in the montage of in the beginning with, like, just maybe one of the, you know, one of the zombies infected them or bit them, and then they went into the other room and locked the door?
I think we're supposed to assume it was the mosquito, because we see his, at one point when he's locked up, we see his hand, it's all like gotten all red. And then near the end, he's like, oh, you know, I had to cut my hand off, but, you know, it infects me slower. And it seems like he's starting to, like, slow down mentally. I could be wrong, though. I was struggling not to check out at that point in the movie.
That's fair, but what you know, I gotta say, our two main leads, Nightingale and Ellis, Ellis is also written as being like a, I don't know if predator is the term. I think Bart's probably more closer to it at predator than anybody else. But
yeah, he's supposed to be like an old school, like chauvinist, kind of misogynist, but he still respects her and her ability at the job, but at the same time treats her like a sex object.
Yeah.
And like all the women around him, really.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if that goes away at all. I'd like for that to go away, but yeah, their relationship was interesting. I do like how, especially with Nightingale, you know, in that ambulance in the beginning, we had them, you know, just having a conversation and giving the explanation of Alice's brother having passed away, like I think last week they said, or sometime recently. And
yeah,
I also was fat. At least what struck a chord with me was when, you know, the zombie finally turned, or the chef finally, or the cook, excuse me, finally like turned into a zombie. You know, Alice just, you know, without any hesitation, doesn't double tap the zombie, but just shoots the zombie and blood, you know, goes everywhere, and they're just, you know, straight faced.
Yeah, they just keep the conversation going. They don't skip a beat. I was like, okay, are they going to have kind of a sense of humor about this movie? But that's kind of the only scene I think where it kind of works, whatever vibe they're going for. It's like these people are so casual about it, they could not care at all.
Yeah. But you know, they said eventually the AMS, they assemble, I guess, military, like not their own security force, but just, I guess, you know, a bunch of army soldiers.
Yeah. Bunch of grunts. Oh, but actually I'll say this right before we get to them. This actress here playing Nightingale, we'll definitely see her again later in the video game series. She shows up in a Uwe Boll film, Far Cry. But she's a Canadian actress who would just show up in a ton of random stuff. She was in a very memorable episode from I think it was the second season of Supernatural, where she played this werewolf character. And she was really great in that. So I always appreciate seeing her, even when it's in stuff like this. And there was one scene where I was like, oh my gosh, is she about to do a nude scene? I've never seen this before from this actress. When they're in this big change room with the army folks, the women are just walking around half naked. None of the guys are, really. And Nightingale and Ellis go into to change. And yeah, of course, we have to get like a taking her top off shot, but it's from the back. So at least they have some, you know, I mean, I guess she wasn't willing to do the full nudity like they probably wanted her to do. But especially knowing Uwe Boll's tactics, we'll talk about him later on and some of the ways that he would get pissed off at his actresses and badmouth them for not doing nudity. So maybe I'm just bringing some of that over too.
That's fair, except he's not in this. Before the, I guess the, you know, the military grunts, you know, I was wondering if this was an actual like sequel. Maybe it sounds weird, but like, I was wondering if this was an actual sequel to like the original game. I guess we'll talk about it in a bit. Mm-hmm. Given that, you know, we had the very end when the one survivor dude comes back, gets rescued, and then we see those two agents. We have to see two agents that apparently are from like the first video game. Yeah, I thought that these two were going to be those agents, but obviously Nightingale's a woman, so they're not them. But I was wondering if Ellis was like a stand-in for one of them. So I was like, oh, okay, we're going to have like them all come back, but that's not the case. But I guess the main thing about this is that, you know, we got a sequel to House of the Dead. Yeah, that was, you know, a lot of over-the-top action. It was definitely enjoyable.
Yeah.
So what do you do with over-the-top action movie? Well, yeah, I guess you look at the most famous, one of the famous movies that, you know, kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
But except it was a sequel to a movie that, you know, was kind of suspense, but it was a horror film in space, or with a killer in space. And this is, if anybody hasn't realized, it's, this is the plot of Aliens.
Yep. Very much so. Except none of these grunts, none of the military characters, except for the two women, are likable in any way. All of them are just kind of either ugly, scheming, or just sexist. And like we get a scene with Bart and I can't remember the other guy's name, the one Asian member of the group, and they're the other female who has the brown hair. I'm sorry, I didn't write down any of the names.
I think Baxton is the Asian dude.
Oh, okay, Baxton. She's like bending over to like tie her shoes, and they're just staring at her ass, and they're making like crass comments about her. And I was like, wow, this is your fellow soldier here, and just no respect at all from either one of these guys. The Asian guy at least seemed like offended a little bit, but he was still, you know, he was definitely looking too in the same way.
Yeah, no, that's
like, this is a change room. You know, this is the time when you, you know, respectfully don't look at people when they're half naked.
With this, though, these are grunts and hopefully not Marines, so they can't get, you know, angry. Or it's, I guess, better representation than what the Marines were in Aliens. Where it's like, you know, some of the, I guess, as Eric was putting it in Aliens, you know, some of the, I guess, sayings or isms or, you know, whatever mentality they had would not fit in, you know, the Marine Corps. I can agree with that. None of these people are legit, you know, soldiers. In that sense, they just don't act like soldiers. They don't seem, you know, well trained or anything like that, or have the mentality. Nope. But what'd you think of the guest star appearance of Sticky Fingers as, like, you know, the head in charge, the head honcho?
Oh boy, it's Blade. Oh, Sticky Fingers, this guy.
Oh, that's right, he was Blade. I forgot about that in MTV.
Yeah, this guy is in the same. He's actually a lower tier category than Sid Haig, but he also is someone who around this time period was doing, you know, just shitty, cheap action movies and horror movies. So you'd be like pumping 3 or 4 of those out a year as well. Ultra low budget stuff. Eventually we'll probably see him, because I'm hoping to do Leprechaun one day. He shows up in Leprechaun Into Hood. Or is it Leprechaun Back to Da Hood? I think it's that one actually that he's in. And they actually do put the duh, by the way. That's why I say it. So I used to like him because I used to like that Blade series that he was on. But the more I see him in this cheap stuff, the more you can also see him just painting by numbers and just not caring at all. But who could blame him when you're just in constant cheap crap that you know that no one's going to see? You know, it's kind of understandable that you wouldn't really put in that much of an effort.
Dang. Yeah. Sorry, I was just watching over the scene. I gotta stop doing this because I don't want to make this long. But I was watching. Yeah. One thing that did surprise me was, you know, when one of the guys gets shot, or sorry, one of the guys does this. You know, what I think is like, okay, so we're gonna have these, like, you know, finally we're having like some martial arts on screen, and he does this thing against the zombie and then gets bitten, and it comes to the scene where it's like, okay, well, we're gonna have to, you know, bring this guy with us or something like that, right? No, they're just like, all right, we're going to shoot, like, Ellis and Nightingale are like, all right, we got to shoot him. And then Sticky Fingers is like, no, let us handle it. And they actually, like, just, you know, like the aliens from, or the Xenomorph, excuse me, from Resurrection, they're just like, all right, well, why not? We just have to. Lops his hand off. I was like, that's what I would have done. And then is still infected, and then bites the doctor, and he gets infected. It's like, okay. I'm surprised by this. That's wow. Okay, then.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's actually the one scene that I liked. And I also liked when they come across a zombie and they're like, oh, it seems like they're mutating. Because this one had like really fucked up teeth. And so I was like, oh, they're going to give us some like cool mutations going forward. So, and like you mentioned, the clever, I was not expecting the doctor to just suddenly get infected. So it kind of, it almost sets you up to be like, oh, this movie maybe is going to be, you know, not as generic as I thought. Maybe it's going to give me some, you know, twists or turns or some exciting new variations on the zombies. Pretty much after that, it just kind of falls into generic kind of stuff, pretty much. But
if you've seen Aliens, you're pretty much watching the movie. Like, that's all. But on Earth in a college campus, but it's zombies instead of xenomorphs.
Yeah, except no really cool settings. I mean, yeah, the college setting, it really loses interest after a while, at least for me. It's just boring hallways, you know, even the scene when Bart gets bit by the mosquito. Him and those two women are in that room for, I swear, like 15 minutes of the runtime. And I'm just like, are they ever going to leave this room? Like, what's going on? Did they run out of set budget? They're just trapped in this one little room.
I mean, I guess to extend the movie even longer, we have to go back to the campus or the secret lab. Well, I don't know what's a secret lab, but just a laboratory, to get another DNA sample of patient zero, and just to, you know, Because I guess the goal of AMS is they have to get to the campus because there was a patient zero zombie. And they were going to extract her DNA. They're going to try to get her, I guess, reverse engineer and create a cure out of it. Fair enough.
Yeah. And since you mentioned that, I was a little bit confused by some of the things in this movie around the zombie mythology. Because AMS apparently has been, I guess their whole purpose is killing these zombies, right? But the way that they talk about it, they make it seem like the zombies have been around for years. And at the beginning of this movie, I thought that it wasn't going to be a part of the last movie. And I thought, oh, okay, this Dr. Kurian, he's going to be the one that creates the zombie outburst. And, you know, that'll be it. And then once I found out, like, oh, okay, zombies existed previously, I guess it is attached to that island. But then they even, I think Nightingale says that it was like scientists that infected another place that she was in with an outbreak of zombies. And so I was like, wow, man, we're getting a lot of people just accidentally creating these zombies here.
There was a bit where somebody said that, I think it was because we bring back, I don't know if it's the actor, but we bring back a character, one of the survivors from the island. I don't know if it's the guy or if it's the girl, but she died in the end, if you remember. And okay, at least how the movie goes, one of the survivors from the original House of the Dead movie came back, tried to bring his like girlfriend or wife back to life to discover the secrets of immortality. Does that ring any bells?
Yeah, the main bad guy in that one, right? The guy who was always creeping around. Yeah.
Not in the first move, I guess. Well, because that was a whole different thing, right? Because he was from Spain. He got damned, if I recall. Was he a scientific zombie or was it a magical zombie or curse? Excuse me.
Yeah, remember we went to like his weird little science lab, and I think he had like a zombie. I don't know, some sort of like small zombie thing. I think it was supposed to be like half science, half magic. I think it's been a while since we did that. And
yeah, I was debating whether to listen to that again.
Me too.
But, or just watch it again, I guess. But pardon us. Yeah. It's a little confusing, but cause it's just like, it's so, you know, quick, just to like, I guess, tie it into either make a reference to the games or a reference to the Uwe Boll film, excuse me, that, you know, kind of, I was just kind of skimming over it or at least trying to like remember that, but
yeah. But yeah, moving forward, I don't think we have to be so, we can just jump around and kind of talk about the couple things left that we probably want to talk about, because there isn't really, after we get that doctor getting killed by the guy who got bit, it really does just turn into spinning our wheels, generic army guys versus the zombies, which there's so many of these movies, so many bad ones. And yeah, well, I guess Sticky Fingers and Bart had a plot where they were going to try to steal the blood for themselves. So they could make some money on the side. You know, they're the pair of Paul Reisers in the cast, but far less interesting. And they really don't even, the Sticky Fingers side of it really doesn't even, like, does he ever comment that he wants to steal it? I can't remember if he had a moment where he was trying to steal it.
It wasn't until Bart said that whole thing. I was like, what? Like, yeah, no, it was, I guess, written, but never said by Sticky Fingers himself, unless I'm missing a scene.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure he dies before they get it. I think he dies when they go down to the basement, and there's like a little room filled with zombies behind a chain link gate or something like that. Do you remember that scene?
Yep. No, I remember that scene where I'm like, wouldn't the zombies be able to get through the chain link fence?
Oh, but by the way, I just, since I skipped forward to this scene. The scene you mentioned where they have Static X, that room is just a little, it's like a time capsule for the age. Because not only do we have the Static X there, we also have a big Marilyn Manson poster tucked in the back.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I guess we're in the same scene right now, because I'm seeing the Marilyn Manson scene or poster as well.
And there's this crazy poster, I'm trying to find it right now, that's just like a blown up, it was almost like they were so like shocked by this magazine that was talking about Blade Trinity that they blew it up just so they could put it in the background. And it's like it's a crazy, crazy article. I gotta find it right now. And just shows the misogyny of the day too. Let me see if I can find this.
Oh wait, the Jessica Biel one?
Yeah, what does it say on the top of the thing?
Oh yeah, that, yeah, okay. Some or the big headliner, or like, I guess the one in the...
Yeah, the big headliner piece. Pretty much the whole text you can read. It's just crazy. I can't see the name of the publisher, like what the company is that made it, but it's from December 2004. It says, Hot Girls Who Suck, Blade Trinity Vamps, Jessica Biel and Parker Posey, Sexy Slayer and All Souls Day. It's just like, oh man, like, come on, Hot Girls Who Suck. Like, I get what they're, it's a play on words, but that just seems a little bit diminishing.
I don't even remember if Jessica Biel was a vampire in Blade Trinity. She was a vampire hunter.
Yeah, she wasn't a vampire. Yeah, she was a human.
Wait, do you think that Jessica Biel, her character in Blade Trinity was supposed to be, like, you know, a stand-in for Selene from Underworld?
That's interesting.
Or even though she's not a, you know, vampire. But I wonder if that was who, but no, wait, was she, no, she had a crossbow, right? Or no, it was a bow. Never mind.
Yeah. Little like,
okay.
Is it compact bow? One that she could like fold out.
Probably a compound bow. Okay. Never mind. Squash that theory.
But yeah, I just wanted to point that out because I did think it was funny. I wondered if they blew it up just to put in there because of either the Sticky Fingers reference or because they too thought it was a ridiculous cover headline. Wasn't sure why I'd be there.
Knowing this movie, probably for the times. I can't say either. I just think like looking at the misogyny on screen, I doubt it was, yes, you know,
that's fair.
Anything of like, you know, social commentary or anything like that.
Yeah, how dare I try to ascribe for these folks making this movie.
Again, yeah, I think we're putting too much into this movie. You know, every movie should, you know, deserve something, but this was a TV movie. Hey, some TV movies are good. Okay, there are some that actually, like, you know, are well created, well made, and have some thought put into it. This one, you know, they put stuff into it, but I don't even know if like any live firearms were actually fired in this film, because I always wonder if it's like sound effects and or After Effects that they use, not like the program After Effects on the computer. I just mean like After Effects, special effects for gunfire.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning about the gunfire thing. I'd almost forgotten to mention this. This I just found just confusing and bizarre. I don't know why the hell they included this, but during the scenes when Ellis and Nightingale are getting their little... it's like the exposition scene. Let's give you the situation report. A sit rep, I guess. We see the army guys in the background are practicing their you know, their marksmanship. And the little piece of paper that they're shooting have, this is just so weird. It's Paris Hilton's face. They're just shooting her in the face with that. And I was like, why would they put that in there? Like, that just seems, I don't know.
Again, just pot shots at her at the time for, I don't know, for scandals or whatever it was happened by that point. But just the cultural zeitgeist at the moment, again, this movie is very, at least, you know, from our perspective, and maybe I'm not, again, maybe I'm not putting a lot of thought into it. Very misogynist.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It really does just feel that way. It just has such an ugly vibe to it. And the shooting her in the face thing just is a little cherry on top of the ugliness we've seen up to that point in the movie. But where should we go to kind of round it out? I don't know. I don't really know if I have too much more to say. I've gone through most of my notes.
Everyone dies in the end, except for Alice and Nightingale. They live. They end up living. But every time you think, oh, someone's gonna, like, you know, remain with him, like Hennison, I believe is her name, the blonde trooper.
Yeah.
She's like, you think she's gonna make it by the end? Nope, gets bitten again. So they're very expendable with the crew. I gotta say that they are very, like, you know, expendable. And maybe there's a little self-awareness. I don't know if it's like self-awareness, but you know, zombie movies had been around this whole time by this point as well, because the revival was happening. But you know, they pretty much, like, you know, they quickly turn into zombies and like, just do it, like just finish me.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, wait a minute. Even if you put a bullet in the head of a live corpse or a live person, wouldn't they just come back as a corpse? Like the virus. So if you kill a person and they have the infection in them, would the virus not reanimate the corpse and turn them into a zombie?
Well, if you destroy, because I'm assuming that they're going by the George Romero rules, where you have to like destroy the brain or the brain stem.
Okay.
In order for the motor functions to return. So I'm assuming that's what they need to do.
Okay. So if you put a bullet in the head of a living being, but they have the virus, they're not going to come back or reanimated.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
But I did kind of, again, the Hansen, whatever her name was, she was really the only one that I thought was all around likable. I guess Nightingale too, but so I was kind of like, okay, I guess that's kind of too bad that they killed her, but I don't really care that much, you know? I wasn't that invested. But I did want to say, if there's one thing that I did kind of like, besides that one scene that we highlighted with the double death, the doctor and that one guy, I liked the fact that both Ellis and especially Nightingale looked like people that would exist in a video game. I think just the costuming, the way they made them, like their hair look. I was like, I could imagine them in video game form walking around shooting zombies. Faint praise, but...
Yep, fair enough. I could see Ellis's actor being Chris, potentially. Sorry, Chris Redfield from Resident Evil.
Yeah, I could see that, yep. And I guess we got some okay variations on zombies. And they seem like smarter zombies, too. Like, we had the one that was in the library trying to read a book. And the one who, like, the librarian who comes in and tells him to be quiet. There's never any, like, development of that. But I was like, okay, I guess that's kind of something.
Like, docile zombies that are lures, almost, where they, like, hide in plain sight, almost, and appear as though they are, you know, they still have, like, the... I guess stereotypes almost of, you know, the people that were turned. But then you have like the regular walker zombies. I don't know if you had any runner zombies, but then you have like the overbite zombies who, you know, yeah, can bite through armor. I guess ballistic armor, excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I kind of liked the football zombie. One of them threw the football too. I was like, okay.
Well, I guess that's also a reference back to Night of the Living Dead, where, you know, they could still like do certain things. They weren't rotting corpses just yet. They were still like able to, you know, hold weapons or at least hold objects and break through stuff. So, you know, I give those guys credit. So maybe they were looking back at that. But no, I wouldn't say there was much variation with the zombies. Again, just the overbite ones and then the lure ones. But other than that, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, and by the way, this was right during the massive boom that the zombies had in film, post Dawn of the Dead 2004 and 28 Days Later. Like, it was such a huge boom following those ones. And yeah, this was just another one among many. But the zombies themselves look okay. The makeup's fine. But yeah, everything here just feels so generic. I feel like I could find like 10 other movies that are similar to this. And it doesn't stand out among those movies.
Now, during the scene when it just happens to be coming on screen, I believe when Bart gets, you know, bit with the mosquito and then he's, you know, contemplating, you know, how he's gonna die. And, you know, I said that was a good scene until he, you know, is, Henderson gives him a gun. It's like, here you go. You're just gonna, you know, shoot yourself before you get turned. And they have like a Mexican standoff. I don't know about that. He mentions a fart, like he's, you know, all of a sudden just like, what do you call it? He mentions, you know, oh, like, you know, I'll pay you guys $500,000 to not shoot me. We're going to take the vial to AMS, this pharmaceutical company, and they're going to make a cure, right? And he mentions the name Goldman. Now, I believe Goldman was the main antagonist of House of the Dead 2, the video game.
Oh, okay.
And okay. Do yourself a favor, and the audience, of course, as well, and look up maybe some scenes with him, because it's interesting.
Oh, interesting. I might remember if I go back to it, because, yeah, I did. Whenever we did that first movie, I was watching some of the playthroughs, because they're both pretty short.
Oh, yeah.
I was able to, yeah, get through them. And it seemed like a pretty fun game, House of the Dead 2.
Yeah, and that's the other thing where I was kind of disappointed that, because, again, I can't believe I'm saying it, but at least Uwe Boll put in as much as, you know, I'm not calling it like, you know, creative or anything like that. Maybe it wasn't even him who put it in there. It was somebody on the team or in the staff. They at least put in the, even though this makes no sense, but they at least had the decency to put in, like, you know, scenes from the game itself. As far, I think that was scenes from the game or something, like, or was it House of the Dead 2? I don't remember what it was, but like, at least they did that. Whereas this has none of that at all.
Oh yeah. And in the Uwe Boll one had a like kick and score. We were both, you know, even though it was a stupid movie overall, and even the score was silly at times, it was still fun. And like the characters' death scenes, when it would like put them in a black void and like circle around them. Yeah. It was like the loading screen, a easy way to respawn. It was trying to do something interesting.
Bombastic, but it had an identity. Like I still remember that way. And, you know, we just did. Okay, it was almost a year that we did it, but I still remember that film. I had a lot of fun with that film. I would go back to that film, surprisingly. This, if you change the title, like this is just any other, like, you know, zombie film, but it's set in the college and it's aliens heavy. Other than, like, you know, a few of lines, there's nothing real here when it comes to, like, House of the Dead. Like, no iconography, really. Just other than, like, you know, mentions of AMS, Goldman, and, you know, back to the first movie, I suppose. Like, that's it. There's nothing really, like, you know, here. Even in regards to, like, video game enemies. Maybe there were overbite zombies. Didn't really care, I guess, in a light gun shooter, or light rail shooter, excuse me.
Yeah, and they call them hyper sapiens. I was like, I don't remember if that's part of the game. It's been a while since I did my research.
I forgot about that too. I don't know. So pardon us if we forgot about that. Maybe they're called that, but even still, that's dialogue. There's nothing here visually or anything like that that tells me this is House of the Dead.
No.
I'm not asking for a light rail gun shoot section where you all of a sudden, like, see their hands and, like, yeah, heads up display comes on, you know, from Doom. But, you know, just something like enemies and, you know, location, tone, atmosphere. That's what, like, you know, something visual other than, like, you know, text or words, excuse me, dialogue.
Yeah. But again, a movie like this was doomed from the outset because you can just feel it. I mean, I looked up this director, Michael Hurst, and I'd seen a couple of random things that he'd done, but he really was just pumping out movie after movie. Like, I think I looked it up and he had, like, I don't know, like, maybe I'll quickly look again, but he was just one of those, like I said, a studio director who was just taking project after project, just soulless, just careless stuff that he was pumping out. And you're never going to get a good movie when you have those kind of people behind it. It wasn't just him too. Lionsgate would pump out just cheap crap throughout the 2000s. And every now and again, they'd get some stuff that would hit more. But for the most part, it was just, bottom of the barrel, direct-to-video stuff. Just pumping out, just whatever margin of profit I guess they could eke out was somehow feasible. I don't know who the hell was seeing these movies. But I guess, I don't know. I don't know where to go now. I feel like I'm ready for final thoughts, but
we're getting there. Because I do not want to make this like the same length of a commentary. Like I'm trying to avoid that. I don't even know if I'd recommend watching this in the background like I did. I will fully admit I was playing video games and watching this in the background at the same time.
That's fair.
Maybe that's, like, you know, not fair to this movie, but I don't even know if I'd recommend this if this was on the Sci-Fi Channel and they were playing this. I have no clue if I shake my head as to, like, if I could recommend. I don't recommend this. There was that bit where Henderson, Nightingale, and Ellis, they're all trapped, you know, in this room. They've cornered themselves with the zombies and they're trapped in this room and they're like, shoot, like, how do we get out of here? And they're like, oh, we can get out by that that vent. It's like, okay, we'll do that. And it's like, but takes the time to erase. They're in, like, oh, what is it? They're in the locker room. That's what it was, locker room. There's a chalkboard there, right? And Ellis takes the time to erase the chalk. This was out of nowhere. I was like, what the hell are we doing? Erases the chalkboard there and then starts, you know, making a strategy there, like, okay, and like, if I go here, if we're here, if I move like this, because I guess he had his, like, a university. I remember they mentioned that somewhere. So fair enough. It was in dialogue. It's like, if I go here, 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 and here, in between here and our objective, is where this air vent is. And I can like use it to open it from the other side. So then he's like, I'm just going to like, you know, cover myself in zombie goo or zombie blood, which is a thing from far. Nope. Sorry. I think it's probably been in movies before, but it's gameplay wise. Maybe it's been in other games, but in gameplay wise, there's a game called Dying Light. And you were able to do that as well, where you could actually just like and killed zombies. You could like cover yourself in their essence and, you know, become, you know, invisible for like a few seconds as before the meter ran out. So I assume that's probably been in movies before it was in video games, right?
I know I've seen it, but I can't think of where I've seen it before. But yeah, no, you definitely see it every now and again. Just wish I could remember where.
Yeah, I assume that, you know, it had to have been in a Romero film at some point. Like he was the, you know, father of zombies.
I don't think they ever used that in a Romero movie. No.
Well, fair enough. So that was the only other thing that, you know, came up that I can only think of. It's like, okay, I guess that's something.
Yeah, no, that's, I guess that's, yeah, no, that's fair. It ties into the video game series. Yeah. And I guess I'll mention another little tie. We already mentioned how this had the reference to 28 days later, where they said 29 days later. Right before that, during the professor, when he's speaking to that zombie that he's got locked in the room, and he's complaining about, oh, I think he wants to resurrect his dead wife, I think that's what he says. And he says, like, then I won't be alone in the dark. I was like, oh, there we go. I'll give a bowl callback.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, no, there was that.
Yeah, and this one, I don't know. I don't know if this is a reference to the game, but as a horror fan, the first thing I thought of was Poltergeist when I saw that the university was called Cuesta Verde University, which is of course the suburban complex that they're building, Cuesta Verde, in Poltergeist. So I was like, oh, is that another reference there, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just a place, maybe it's a real place.
I have no idea. But,
but yeah, I feel like. Did you already say your final thoughts? It almost felt like you gave yours, but
my final thoughts on this, in a positive state, I hope that all the cast, crew, and whatever went on to do better things. I'll just say that. Hopefully, you know, stuff that is an improvement from this. That's all I'm going to say, because I don't think it's worth our time.
Yeah, and I don't know if this market for films still exists, but there was so much of this stuff back in the 90s and I guess even the 80s and the aughts. Maybe nowadays it just goes to, yeah, I don't know, the Sci-Fi Channel or just sits in a streaming service server, just hidden. But these movies, you know, a lot of these kind of actors that appear in these movies, they're just in so many of them. So, and the video game retrospective is filled with stuff like this. So we'll definitely see a couple more of them to come. And maybe even featuring some of the same similar actors, like I mentioned that one woman shows up in Far Cry. Maybe better than this, but you know, shares some similar generic ways. So, yeah, not oh boy, but yeah, I would also say I would give this a not recommend. No one see this. It's not worth your time. There's so many better zombie movies. There's so many better video game based movies that feature zombies, such as the original House of the Dead or any of the Resident Evil movies, are better than this. And yeah, I'm happy to have it knocked out of the way for us. We put it off for a long time. That's why it's taken us like a year to get to it.
Indeed. Yeah, my recommendation, as we said, House of the Dead. And I hope there's not a third one, or if there is a third one, I hope it would return to, you know, what the first one was doing. Surprise, I cannot believe I'm saying that.
Yeah, I don't actually know if the House of the Dead video games, I know a remaster came out a few years ago, but yeah, I don't know if they would feel the desire to try to advertise it in this particular way again. I think if it was to come back, they would probably try to make a more legitimate push than something like this. but yeah, I guess does that bring us to the real main event, the thing that we were both looking forward to, I'm sure, compared to actually watching and discussing the movie. And that's getting to see what franchise or particular individual film we're going to get next on our video game series. There's still 30 entries on there. That includes just either franchises or individual movies. It's not, we have many more than just 30 more to go. But yeah, I'll hit play on the randomizer right now. Oh, okay. This is actually an interesting one. I'm curious. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you've seen many of these video game based movies, but we're going to be discussing from, I think it was 2011, Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time.
2010.
2010. Okay.
2010. I watched it.
Oh, okay. This is going to be fun then.
Oh boy, is it on Plus? That's my question.
I actually own it on Blu-ray. I bought it back in.
That's fair.
Around 2018 or so when we were doing this.
Pardon the sticky keys here, but I'm going to just quickly check it.
Yeah, keep moving those sticky fingers. It is on Disney Plus.
I think oh, it is? Okay, you checked already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess my, yeah, okay. So we're doing that. Then that's, but fair enough. I mean, there's only one entry in that, and I know that also was kind of slated to have sequels after that. I think so, but.
Yep.
I guess it's one of Disney's first, maybe only entries in like video game adaptations.
Oh, I didn't even realize it was Disney. I thought it was Fox.
Oh, no, it was Disney as far as I'm aware.
Ah, yeah, no, that could very well be it. We do have our sister series, which is movies about video games, which includes Tron and Wreck-It Ralph. But yeah, those aren't based on video games.
Yeah, not yet. We're not counting that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I say sister series. Yeah, because it's related, but yeah, not technically based on. So,
well, thank you, Caleb, for joining me in this discussion. Sorry. Hopefully, this was somehow entertaining for those listening. Hopefully, I get something out of this when I re-listen to this.
Yeah.
Or again, it's I don't think it's intellectually stimulating.
No.
But or it's just white noise. It's just background noise for those listening. Fair enough. Hopefully we can bring something more, I guess, you know, attractive for those viewers, those listeners, excuse me. And so till next time, we'll see you again in Prince of Persia. And well, I guess I'll just say, go listen to some Sticky Fingers. Like why not? He is still making music, by the way. I'm looking at his albums and or his, you know, his stuff on Tidal right now. And yeah, he has been active. He just released a single called Blink in 2023. So that exists.
Well, good for Sticky. I'm glad he's still around.
Yep. No. Again, nothing on all the actors in this film. Just yeah, go listen to. Hopefully, there's something better out there for all of them. And then they can go back to this. And I guess, you know, go watch or play through House of the Dead.
Peace.